All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for taking time out of your afternoon to participate in our state watering ban of non-functional turf for commercial, industrial, and institutional customers, with a specific focus this afternoon on homeowners association compliance. My name is Linnea Bowles Alexander, and I am the assistant general manager here at the district, and I oversee the planning, engineering, and construction departments. And within that planning group is our water use efficiency department, which we have members here in the room from that team that help with all things water use efficiency and conservation. So I'm going to start this afternoon by providing an overview of EMWD. And I like to call this slide EMWD by the numbers. EMWD was established in 1950, and we provide water, wastewater, and recycled water service. And we also provide services both as a wholesaler, meaning we sell water to other water districts or cities, but also as a retailer, where we sell water directly to customers, including our commercial, industrial, and institutional customers. Our population is nearly a million people that we serve within our 558 square mile area. And one of the unique things about EMWD service area is that we are only about 38% built out. And when you think about other areas within Southern California, like Los Angeles and San Diego, we have a lot more growth in this area than some of our neighboring entities. We are also one of the member agencies of the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, which is the entity that we participate in order to get our imported water. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. EMWD is governed by a 5-member publicly elected board of directors within 5 divisions. We have more than 600 employees that provide that water, wastewater, and recycled water service that I described. We have an annual operating budget of about $465 million in fiscal year 2022 and 2023. And our 5-year capital program, this is the program in which we fund our improvements and our facilities, is $712 million for fiscal years 2022 through 27. We have more than 180 active capital projects going on right now. We have an estimated $104 million of external funding that helps us offset the cost of that capital program. We are also the 6th largest public water utility in California. Our service area stretches from Moreno Valley in the north to Temecula in the south, includes 7 cities and incorporated areas. And as I mentioned, we are one of 26 member agencies of the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. And with that member agency role also comes representation, and Director Randy Record provides that representation for us on Metropolitan's Board of Directors. I mentioned we provide drinking water, wastewater, and recycled water service. In this slide, it illustrates the number of accounts and the amounts of water that we are treating. On the drinking water side, we have almost 160,000 accounts with 82,390 feet acre sold in fiscal year 2021. That water is made up of imported water from Northern California via the State Water Project and also from the Colorado River Aqueduct. But we also have local groundwater supplies, including groundwater wells, both on a portion of our basin that is adjudicated and also a portion of the basin that we manage. We also have 2 brackish water desalters in the Menifee and Paris area, and that allows us to treat water that is typically too salty to drink or to use for potable purposes, and we treat it to remove the salt, both protecting the basin as well as providing us an additional potable water supply to supplement the imported supplies that we bring in. On the wastewater side, we have 263,000 accounts with 4 operating regional water reclamation facilities. Those 4 reclamation facilities have a treatment capacity of 74 million gallons per day. And right now we average treatment of about 47 million gallons per day. we make a goal of recycling 100% of that wastewater that we generate within our service area. And to that end, we have approximately 686 recycled water accounts with almost 34,000 acre feet of recycled water sold in 2021. We have extensive agricultural irrigation. We have municipal irrigation, as well as environmental use. We've partnered with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to provide water to the habitat in the San Jacinto Wildlife Area. Our sources of water, to dig in a little bit more to where our water comes from. Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, again, in which EMWD is a member of, imports water from Northern California via the State Water Project, as well as through the Colorado River Aqueduct System. We also have local supplies that include, as I mentioned, the groundwater, brackish desalination, recycled water, and we do have some level of stormwater capture that we also are able to utilize for our portion of our water supply portfolio. So this next graphic demonstrates our water supply portfolio compared to 1990 and to last year, 2021. So you can see a huge difference in both the pie charts as well as the population. In 1990, we served a population of approximately 358,000 within our service area. And at that time, we relied on the imported water supplies from the State Water Project and the Colorado River for about 66% of the demands from that 358,000. Fast forward to 2021, our population has more than doubled. However, our reliance on imported water to serve that population has actually decreased. It's now less than 50% of our overall water supply portfolio. And we've been able to reduce our reliance on imported water, even though our population has gone up, due to the investments in recycled water, which now makes up almost 40% of our water supply, as well as the use of our groundwater and the investments in our desalination facility. Although on this pie chart, the desalters make up about 5% of our water supply portfolio, we just recently finished construction on our third desalter in the Paris Menifee area, and that will continue to add to that portion of our pie, if you will. So this next slide illustrates the progress that we've made in water use efficiency, recapping really what I just described to you in the pie charts and the population growth. So even though since 2020, our population has increased by 93%, again, almost doubling, our per capita, or the water use per person, has actually decreased by 42%. Our reliance on imported water, that water that we have to get either from Northern California or from the Colorado River, has reduced by 3%. And that's important from a water supply reliability standpoint, because those sources, as I'll get into here in just a few slides, are becoming less and less reliable with the current drought and projected drought conditions into the future. And we have continued to increase our utilization of recycled water in our service area. So now to the bad news part of the story. So we are currently in a drought. If you look at the USGS drought monitor, it currently shows that 100% of California is in moderate or worse drought conditions. And in fact, 2020 to 2021 was the hottest two-year stretch on record. And 2022, it had the driest start to any calendar year on record. I mentioned we rely heavily on the State Water Project water that is imported through Metropolitan. And we currently, through Metropolitan, have a 5% allocation for that portion of water that would be allocated to Metropolitan as a State Water Project contractor. And this is really significant in that years past, we didn't see less than 15%, 20% allocation. And in fact, as we completed 2021, there were threats of a 0% allocation. And there are areas of our service area that are currently on what we refer to as health and safety allocation along the State Water Project. So the hydrologic conditions on the State Water Project system are very challenging right now, making that supply very limited to the users. The major reservoirs on that system are still well below their historic averages. And this slide here has a lot of numbers and a lot of detail. But if, for example, Oroville is shown here being significantly under historic averages, which is a major reservoir that is that we rely on for the State Water Project system, as well as Shasta and San Luis reservoirs. 50% of the statewide rainfall typically occurs between January through May. And in January 2022, we were 14% of normal, February 4% of normal, and March 16% normal. So again, reinforcing that statistic that 2022 was the driest start on record. Metropolitan, having access to State Water Project and Colorado River water, has historically allowed us to navigate hydraulic challenges on either one of those two systems. But the perfect storm, we're also seeing challenging drought conditions on the Colorado River supply as well. Lake Powell elevation has fallen to its lowest level since it was first filled. Lake Mead is extremely low, having gone down an additional 40 feet just since last year. And there are different levels in Lake Mead in which Southern California loses access to the water that is available. And although this represents a current drought condition, we are seeing a change in the winters and the wet seasons. The snowpack in the upper Colorado River Basin was actually 90% of normal. However, the runoff was only 71% of normal. So we're seeing just a different response and a different availability, even when we do have a good snowpack. Climate change is resulting in earlier spring blooms, further reducing runoff into the reservoirs. So that runoff that we relied on to refill our reservoirs is becoming more scarce. California is becoming more dependent on atmospheric rivers for rain and snow. And what that means is if we don't have the capability to capture and store the runoff and the rain when it's falling or when it's available, then we will not have access to that in the future. So continuing to adapt our system and add storage into our system is going to be very critical for reliability into the future. So what have we been doing in response to this drought? There have been actions taken at the state level, at the regional level, and here at the local level. The regional drought response, again, being led by the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, declared an emergency water shortage this April. Now, there's a couple of different impacts. As I mentioned, there are areas that are more impacted by State Water Project. And in fact, there's areas of Southern California that can only get water through the State Water Project system. We refer to those as State Water Project dependent areas. Those areas of the service area have higher restrictions on water use today. They have either been restricted to watering one day per week or have a volumetric allocation that they are required to stay in. Today, those regulations do not apply to EMWD. And that is because we still have access to Colorado River Aqueduct water, as well as water that's stored in Diamond Valley Lake. But it's also important to recognize that if our conditions don't improve, those regulations could be expanded and impact our service area. EMWD has taken action in response to this drought. And we are currently in stage 3A of our water shortage contingency plan. A water shortage contingency plan is a plan that is mandated by the state for all urban water suppliers to submit and take action to should certain conditions arise. In stage 3A, we ask our customers to reduce water use by up to 25%. And that's really encouraged through not offering variances for certain activities such as refilling swimming pools, replacing landscapes, or not repairing leaks in a timely manner. We have also invested in our water usage and billing system to provide customers with better insight into their water use and be able to adjust accordingly, adjust to weather conditions. For example, on a wet day or in a wet time period, reduced water use, but also see how they're comparing to their water budgets that we establish as a tool for customers to practice water use efficient behavior. With our area being a relatively newer area and having a lot of newer development, a lot of our plumbing fixtures and indoor water use is already pretty efficient. So our focus really has been on the outdoor water use, where we still feel there's a lot of opportunity to improve and reduce the amount of water that's used for irrigation outdoors. We currently offer up to $3 per square foot for turf removal to try to further those water efficiencies in outdoor efficiency. And with participation in this program, our customers have removed more than 10 million square feet of non-functional turf over the past decade. And we also are really trying to support our CII customers to comply with the state regulations on outdoor irrigation non-functional turf, which we're going to spend some more time on now. This past May, the state board passed regulations prohibiting the irrigation of non-functional turf. This applies to commercial, industrial, and institutional properties that are irrigated by potable water. It does allow for turf on the same valve as trees and shrubs and other perennial plants to be irrigated. It excludes individual residential customers and multifamily customers, but it does apply to HOAs. So areas, common areas and HOAs that are considered CII customers are also included in this. It does not apply to parks, sports fields, or other turf used for recreation, and it does not apply to landscape irrigated with recycled water. And there is also a waiver if you have turf that is considered low water use, but it has to meet certain specified criteria that is included in the emergency regulation. So what is non-functional turf? Typically, we describe non-functional turf as a ground cover that's only walked on to be mowed. My favorite example of non-functional turf is turf that's in a median. That is, you know, I don't think I've ever seen anybody walking in a median other than to mow it. There are certain strips, you know, along sidewalks and other areas that may or may not be considered non-functional, depending on if there is community use of that space. But this is a really good opportunity for us to continue our strides in water use efficiency and being good partners as we continue to look for opportunities to increase our resiliency in these drought conditions. It's also important, though, to acknowledge that this is not about removing turf that's being used for recreational purposes, for ball fields, any type of community use of turf areas. This is really focused on those areas that really provides no additional community benefits. So how can CII customers comply to the state ban? What we've asked CII customers to do is either to shut off or direct their landscapers to shut off irrigation to all eligible non-functional turf. But we do want to encourage the continued irrigation of other landscaping like trees, shrubs, and other perennial plants. If you're interested and have the need for a template letter to send to your landscapers, that is something EMWD can provide. But we also encourage you to take advantage of EMWD's rebates and programs. And with that, I am going to ask Sarah to review our rebate program.
Thank you, Linnea. Good afternoon, everyone. As Linnea mentioned, the district is committed to working with our CII and HOA customers to help them meet the water use efficiency regulations set by the state. And with like that, I'd like to go over some of the programs that EMWD offers their customers to help them meet these targets. So the first one is our commercial and multifamily drip rebate program. This is a program where you get 50 cents per square foot rebate for converting your spray area to drip area. We also offer a free landscape irrigation survey where we are happy to come out to your property. We will give you recommendations on proper equipment and also any inefficiencies that we may see at that time. We also offer a large commercial landscape program. And this is a really neat program because it's a voucher program that replaces your controller with a weather-based irrigation controller. And the really neat thing is that the majority of the time, the voucher will cover the program completely, so you come out of pocket with zero cost. In partnership with Metropolitan, we also offer a $3 turf grass replacement program. And we also offer a water savings incentive program. Now, this is a program for our larger commercial customers. So think about a restaurant who wants to upgrade their kitchen equipment. They would fall under this category. And then depending on the infrastructure area, customers may qualify to convert to recycled water via our accelerated retrofit program. Now, I will be available after this presentation and be able to answer any questions that you may have regarding these programs. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Sarah. So specifically, regarding homeowners associations, it is important to recognize that homeowners associations cannot enforce guidelines that prohibit the use of drought-tolerant plants or the use of synthetic turf as a replacement for existing grass. An HOA also cannot issue a fine for reducing or eliminating irrigation of grass during a state or local drought emergency. So as I mentioned, you know, we already have a state ban on irrigating non-functional turf, which HOAs need to comply with. But furthermore, there cannot be a fine that's issued by an HOA to an individual resident within that HOA for not irrigating grass or for replacing their landscape during a drought condition, which we are currently in. HOAs cannot enforce guidelines that prohibit compliance with local ground or local water use efficient landscape ordinances. Again, EMWD does have prohibitions on the installation of non-functional turf in new development. So this is something that HOAs cannot prevent. And also, statewide regulations prohibit runoff to water onto sidewalks and other areas, including from pressure washing homes and driveways. So what have our customers done so far? As I mentioned, this ban went into effect officially in June of 2022. And what we've seen is that of the accounts that we've been able to monitor, that we've identified non-functional turf, of those, 62% of those accounts with non-functional turf have reduced their water use. We also offer doing our part signs for areas that have businesses that have let their grass turn brown because they are not irrigating. And so far, we have distributed 155 of those doing our part signs. That's 155 areas within our service area that are showcasing their compliance with the emergency ban. Examples of some of those customers that have embraced the call to action include the Mount San Jacinto College, the Paris Unified School District, as well as multiple locations managed by the Valleywide Parks and Recreation. Customers also continue to sign up for EMWD services or rebates. As Sarah mentioned, we have a lot of opportunities, and we're happy to see our customers participating in those programs, converting 31,000 square feet from spray to drip, and also 35 irrigation controllers representing more than 1,200 stations under our large landscape voucher program. Here's some examples of our CII customers doing their part and showcasing their signs. We have a variety of businesses that are showcasing, as well as institutional and industrial customers. Some of these areas are areas that have stopped irrigating, And some of these areas are also those that have already transformed their landscape, which is what we are encouraging. We are definitely encouraging to take advantage of the rebates that are being provided now and making a permanent change so that once this drought is over, the landscape that is installed is sustainable into the future. And there are benefits to not only to the long-term water resilience, but also achieving corporate sustainability goals, cutting costs, and providing additional community benefits. So again, here's some examples of areas that have been transformed. In fact, our own area was transformed several years ago. This campus used to have a lot of non-functional turf, but several years ago, we converted, and there's a very nice demonstration garden now around our campus to demonstrate what it can look like. Here's some more transformations that show large areas of turf being converted to more water-wise landscapes. And here, even some more. And again, I think, you know, my favorite examples are the medians. I think those are very obvious and easy target areas that we can really reduce water use and still maintain the areas for recreational purposes. So although the ban is focused on CII customers, we do still want to encourage residential customers to take opportunities to reduce water use as well and focus efforts on reducing outdoor irrigation. EMWD's Landscapes for Living, which we launched in summer of 2021, provides resources including device rebates, sample landscape plans, and much more to assist customers in transformations, in replacing outdated irrigation devices for more technologically advanced, as well as tools that automatically help you to reduce water use. An interesting statistic, reducing irrigation times by 2 minutes every 10 minutes of runtime will provide significant savings, but will not impact plant health. And we are all about maintaining the health of trees and shrubs and other plants. And one of the easiest ways to save water is to remove that non-functional turf. And as a reminder, EMWD does offer a $3 per square foot rebate, and that is both to our CII customers as well as our residential customers. Here's just a screenshot of some of the elements of our Landscapes for Living program and the available links to those on our website. Also, there's the link here to the SoCal Water Smart rebates, which is our partnership with Metropolitan for the turf rebate. And we also have an opportunity for you to provide us feedback. We are continuing to be committed to this effort, and we are continuing to advance with identifying areas with non-functional turf being irrigated with potable water and notifying customers of the ban. We are encouraging all customers to remove or reduce areas of non-functional turf. And for the last several months, we have been doing outreach, including these workshops. But starting on December 1st, we are taking additional enforcement actions. We feel that we have done a lot of partnering and outreach, but we have a responsibility as a water agency to further enforce the state ban and be compliant. And so in order to increase the participation and response, we will be adjusting water budgets for non-functional turf areas for CII customers. And what that looks like is any water budget for our CII customers that currently is based on a conservation factor of 70% will be reduced to 50%. And so water budgets are a tool for us to use to incentivize efficient water use. The water budget tier is calculated based on your needed water use, your business type, and your irrigated area. If you exceed that budget, you will be charged a higher rate for the amount of water used over that budget. So that is how that impact works. The budget will be reduced in order to still support drought-tolerant landscaping, but it will not support non-functional turf. A landscape with less turf grass and more low water landscaping, along with efficient irrigation systems, as I mentioned, can be maintained with that lower conservation factor. And in fact, all new construction that connected after June 2015 are already assigned a 50% conservation factor. So this is really focusing on areas that were constructed or built before 2015 and those that have non-functional turf, to further incentivize the removal of that non-functional turf in order to comply with the state ban. We will be conducting site visits to confirm compliance. You'll see Kyle's face out there. Metropolitan Water District of Southern California adopted a resolution encouraging cities to adopt permanent ordinances prohibiting installation and irrigation of non-functional turf. And we anticipate that the state will take similar actions as we are navigating the expected low allocation on the state water project and negotiating for our allocation on the state water project and having to show actions that we as a state have taken in terms of reducing our water use. So again, that is why, although this is a temporary condition that the state has identified today, we anticipate that ultimately this will be permanent, and we really want our customers to take advantage and make the changes now to be more sustainable in the future. And with that, I'd be happy to answer, and Sarah's available also to answer any questions that you may have.
And for anybody who's tuned in online, if you can use the Q&A section to submit a question, we will answer them.
Yes. So if we determine that you're not in compliance or an HOA is not in compliance, we have the ability to assess a fine. However, right now, as I mentioned, what we're starting with is a reduction in water budgets. And so if today your water budget is at a conservation factor of 0.7, it will be reduced to 0.5. And if you exceed that water budget, you will be paying a higher rate for the amount that's left that you exceed the water budget. The state emergency regulation, though, allows us to assess fines of up to $500 per occurrence, which could be per day, could be, you know, so we have some latitude. Our board has not, we have not taken that step to fine the $500 at this point. We are starting with the water budgets because that is a tool that we have in the toolkit to further encourage the efficient water use through the tools that we have. But I would also say that if an HOA has questions about the eligibility for meeting compliance, our staff is available to come and look at your system and look at the areas that potentially would be eligible for the ban, and help you understand how you might be able to comply, and again, also take advantage of the rebates. Go ahead, Sarah.
So the turf replacement program, like we mentioned, is a partnership with Metropolitan Water District, and they have set their guidelines for the turf replacement. And they do have specific standards that have to be met. Artificial turf does not qualify. Pavers do qualify, but you can only have a certain percentage of pavers. You also have to have other drought-friendly material there, but artificial turf is not part of that program. for the turf replacement? No, you can decide what areas you would like to remove. It's not an all or nothing replacement. Say, for example, I'm just going to give an example. You have 1,000 square feet of turf, but you're only wishing to replace 500 square feet. That is okay. You don't have to do the entire area. We would like you to, but you don't have to.
And we do have a question from online. When an association is utilizing potable water for irrigation and wants to switch to recycled water, but the connection meter is not immediately adjacent to the association, does EMWD have any sort of rebate or cost sharing to make the switch?
We do have what we call our accelerated retrofit program that does offer financing to help with a conversion. And so if this customer is interested, we can get their contact information and have our program manager for our accelerated retrofit program reach out to see what infrastructure would be needed and what the opportunity could be.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions online?
Any other questions from the room?
Sorry, is that for the turf replacement program? Yes. So the way that the turf replacement program works is that you would pay the cost upfront, and then once the project is completed and Metropolitan goes out to perform a post on-site inspection and approves the replacement, at that point is when you would receive the rebate for $3 per square foot.
Good. Okay. Well, thank you. We really appreciate you coming in person today, and we really appreciate your participation and your questions.
No, I'm online.
All right. Well, thank you to those of you also online, and we will be continuing to conduct outreach as conditions continue to evolve. And please feel free to reach out to us with any questions. We love meeting with you on site. We love helping you out. So please let us know what we can do. Thank you.